Testing. This is D.W. Calvert speaking. This is January the 8th, 1980. I'm in Ricks Hall on the campus of North Carolina State University talking with Miss Eleanor Mason, who has had a very long experience with the School of Agriculture, especially with the Home Economics Extension Program over a long period of time. Ms. Mason had the rather unique experience of having come in very soon after Dean Schaub became director, having served as secretary to all of the directors of the Home Economics Program we've ever had. So we have that very unique opportunity to talk with her today. I'm going to call you Miss Mason the first time around, and next time it may be Eleanor. So if you'll call me by my first name, that's fine too. And how about telling us where you grew up, where you went to school, and how you came to be employed by the Extension Service?
Well, it goes back to when I was born. My father was an Army officer, and they happened to be in Utah the year I was born, out on a post that was known as Fort Duchesne.
That's D-U-S-H-A-N-E?
D-U-S-C-H.
We can look that up.
I can't remember how you spell it. I always have to look it up.
Okay.
We lived there. I was about a year old, a year and a half when we left there. And after my father's command of the post there, the territory was given back to the Indians. So it's now Indian territory. And my mother's home was in Raleigh. So after my father's retirement from the service, which was not too many years later than that, I was about five, I think, when he retired. We came back to North Carolina, to Raleigh, my mother's home, to settle.
What was your mother's name?
She was Marion Haywood.
Haywood.
Mm-hmm.
An old family in Raleigh.
Yes, they'd been here a long time. In fact, she and Mrs. McKimmon were very good friends, Miss Jenny. And we came back here to live. We stayed about a year after his retirement, and then went to live on a farm in Wilkes County at Poor's Knob. We lived there about a year and a half when my father died, so I was quite young at his death, and we came back to Raleigh to live with my aunt in her home.
By the way, my father was born and reared in Wilkes County.
Oh, he was. Well, I remember that part of my life very vividly. And I enjoyed it as a child. Of course, we roamed the woods and had all the apples we could eat and the things that children love to do. We had ample opportunity on the farm for that. In fact, my two brothers and I would ride horseback on Old Dan from our farm into Poor's Knob to get the mail in the day when the mailman had arrived. We came back to Raleigh and lived at my aunt's home, and I went to the public schools for 3 years, and then I went to St. Mary's for 3 years. In those days, St. Mary's had kindergarten and the grades as well as the high school. And so I spent the fifth, sixth, and seventh grades with them. A friend of my father's came through during those years, and in talking with my mother at the time, he asked what plans she had for our education, and she told him where I was in school, and he said, well, I have scholarships. I have four that I give to the daughters of Army officers, and it's to Emma Willard School in Troy, New York. Would you like to send Eleanor there? And of course, Mother was delighted. She said, yes, she'd be very happy to have one of them. Said, well, it'll be several years before it will be ready and open. So we'll be glad to have her when the time comes. it wasn't long after he had been here when one scholarship opened. I was 13 at the time. So I went at 13 to Emma Willard in Troy, New York.
That's EMMAWILLARD.
That's right. She was the originator of higher education for women. The first one, she taught astronomy to her girls that came, and then she had what was known originally as the female seminary in Troy. And at one time, a Mrs. Slocum endowed the school with over $1 million, which was a lot of money in that day. And that's why Colonel Slocum had the scholarship. She was his aunt, and she gave him the privilege of using the 4 scholarships, which were her privilege to use. So that's how I got my education. I was there for 5 years. And I really feel like I got almost through the first year of college education. It was such an excellent school. They had one more year of school in the grades than we had in North Carolina. We had the 1st through the 7th at that time. They had the 1st through the 8th in New York State. So when I went thinking I was going into high school, they recommended I take one more year before I go into high school. So that's why I was there 5 years instead of 4.
Then you finished there, and then did you come back?
I finished there and came back to Raleigh and took a business course at St. Mary's for a year. And then I went to work. And I'd been working about, 6 months or a year perhaps, when Mrs. McKimmon called me one day and asked me if I could come and have a conference with her. And I went to her office, and she asked me if I would like to work for her, that they were moving the offices to State College. This was, I went to work for her finally in March of 26, so it was prior to that.
That's moving, the offices were being moved
Department of Agriculture downtown to the State College campus, because they were a part of the School of Agriculture, I presume. Extension was. So I said, yes, I'd just as soon work there as downtown. I like the idea all right. Well, the Miss Perry, who had been working for her, didn't want to go to the college. That's why she wasn't continuing. She had resigned. And so I took her place. Mrs. McKimmon was a friend of my mother's. When we were on the farm, I remember she wrote Miss Jenny to find out what to do with all those apples. And Miss Jenny sent her the apple jelly recipe. And Mother made apple jelly that summer. I think she had the whole attic floor full of jars of apple jelly. Until this day, I really don't like it.
By the way, at that time when you were considering moving from downtown, the Department of Agriculture, out to the college was sort of out in the country then, wasn't it?
Well, it was. It was at the end of the streetcar line.
There was a streetcar.
A streetcar ran out to the college, and it was at the Ricks Hall was at the end of the line.
But you could ride a streetcar.
But we could come by streetcar.
Yes.
And we frequently walked it. Emma Anderson, she was Emma Young then, who lived over on Polk Street, about 5 or 6 blocks away from where I lived, would come by, and I'd join her, and we'd walk to the college. And we'd walk home in the afternoons many times.
And so you started working here then, just at the time the Extension Service
about
came?
About 6 months before they moved to the college.
About 6 months before. Mm-hmm. And were you in the old Department of Agriculture building downtown?
Yes, we were.
And so?
No, I believe it was the one that's there now. I believe they'd finished that, if I remember right. I remember the old one mm-hmm. as a child going over there many times.
So you you were the only secretary that Miss McKimmon had at that time?
No, Emma Young was her secretary. And when she employed me, I was to work for Maud Wallace, the assistant state agent, Mary Thomas, the nutritionist, who had just been appointed and had come the 1st of March, and Helen Estabrook, who was here as a housing and house furnishing specialist.
That's Helen Estabrook.
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 Mm-hmm. So that there were the three or four specialists.
There were two specialists and the assistant administrator,
and
Maud Wallace.
And that was the staff.
And that was the staff. And I remember so well Etta Perry telling me, "Now, the most important things in all the files are here on this shelf." They were up on a cabinet shelf. They had steel cabinets there. And it was a pile of papers, about a half a foot high. And at one corner of the shelf on the cabinet there, she said, "These are Mrs. McKimmon's speeches. And if you lose anything, don't lose these, because that's what she depends on." So when she was asked to make a talk, you'd bring her speeches to her. And she'd pull out the notes from various ones and put them together to make her speech. So they were very important pages. She would tear up 8.5 by regular size piece of notepaper, and in very large letters put about 5 words on half that page. And that's what she made. Those were the notes she made her talks from.
Well, tell us something about your experience then while you were working before you became her full-time secretary.
Oh,
and the
that
conditions,
was a long time before.
The conditions that led up to your becoming her major secretary.
After we moved to the college, Mrs. McKimmon thought it was going to be delightful at the college because you could just sit under the trees and have your conference outdoors and breathe the good fresh air and not be indoors all the time. Of course, that didn't take place, but it seemed like that was possible because the college was way out at the end of the edge of town. I worked for I can't remember what order I worked for who. Maud Wallace soon left to be state agent in Virginia. Elizabeth Cornelius came in as to take charge of the 4-H girls 4-H club work. Up until that time, Mrs. McKimmon would assign to a district supervisor a certain responsibility of a certain project. The 4-H club girls were one project. Home beautification was another one's responsibility. The conservation program, canning and preserving, was another part. Mrs. Cornelia Morris had charge of that. Mrs. Estelle Smith had the Federation of Home Demonstration Clubs. That part of the work was her responsibility. So it was, along with their supervisory responsibilities, these, an administrative in their district, they also had for the whole state these particular programs. Elizabeth Cornelius was brought in to take over the girls' 4-H club work, but that came too heavy a load for the district person to carry it and her regular work. So she was appointed. She only was with us a little over a year. She was taken ill and eventually within the year after she left us, died. So we went back. I believe the assistant agent took on some of that girls' club work then. I don't quite remember. Or maybe it went into Mr. Harrell's department and was consolidated with the boys' work. But I worked for her the year she was with us in the state office. I worked for the district supervisors, Ms. Morris in the central district. There were 4 at that time when I first came. And at that time when I first came, the district supervisors lived out in their district. Ms. Morris was in Henderson, and Martha Creighton lived in Charlotte, and Pauline Smith lived in Little Washington. And Mrs. Estelle Smith lived in Goldsboro.
I remember her.
Mm-hmm. And they would be brought in once a month for staff conference. Mm-hmm.
And at that time, Dean I.O. Schaub was the director.
Director of Extension.
And Miss McKimmon was the director of the Home Economics Part.
She was the state home demonstration agent at that time.
That was the title they used at that time.
And later, in the 20s sometime, when was it, about 29, 30, somewhere back then, they gave her the title of Assistant Director of Extension, along with her state home demonstration agent title. She had the two titles.
The two titles. She had the title of Assistant Director
of Extension
while she was still in office.
Oh, yes.
And then I guess Miss Current did not have that title for a while, did she?
No, I can't remember. Did she have, did they ever give it to her?
I think they did.
They finally did?
Yes, I think they did, although the record will show that.
I can't remember, but I know it was a long time before they did it.
Yes. Okay, well then, tell us something about Miss McKimmon. She's, of course, one of the great people of our state, and the building is now named in her honor. I suppose that history will record that she was one of the great ladies in the early history of the state. But tell us something about her as you worked with her on a day-to-day basis.
She was a delightful person to work for. She was, you didn't stand in awe of at all. She had conversation with you, and you were interested in more or less the same things, and if she had something special about the work that pleased her, she was sure to tell you. And she had the ability to infuse, I guess you'd say, her staff with the desire to help these people. And perhaps it's the stories she brought back from some of them that what it had meant in their lives, the farm women, that made you feel in the office that you weren't just doing a day-to-day job of typing. You were helping her with whatever it was they were trying to do out there for people.
Did you get to the point that you could select the notes, select from the notes she had for these speeches and more or less put together a speech for her?
Oh, no. No, she always put her own together. I don't know anyone who ever did it for her. No. She'd have about 5 words on a half a page.
And that was her cue.
And that was her cue as to what she was talking about. Maybe she'd have 10 of those little half pages.
Did she spend a great deal of time traveling over the state?
Quite a bit of time.
How did she travel?
Well, in the early days, horse and buggy, I think. But
did she go on the train?
She went by, I presume, by bus. She didn't have a car. So she went, either some staff member who was going, into, for instance, the district person would drive her to her district.
Did she go to the districts by train or bus?
Sometimes. She'd go that way.
Did she know?
I remember Ruth Current was agent in Argyll County, and Ms. McKimmon was to come for something, and she had to go to the station to meet Ms. McKimmon to get her and bring her over in the county wherever the meeting was going to be, but she went to the station to be sure and meet her and drive her out in the county. She was the
home agent. Did Ms. McKimmon ever own a car?
Not that I recall. I don't believe she did. And I'm sure she never drove one.
Was the home economics program where Ms. McKimmon and Dean Schaub were the, they were the team of leaders at that
yes.
time. And the, I take it that had Dean Schaub brought her into the work, or was she in before he came?
And no, he brought her into the work. It seems that they had done the Farmers Institute work together back in, when was it, about 1908 or 9, 10, somewhere there. They had worked together on the Farmers Institute, making the talks throughout the state. He had known her in that working capacity, and he also had become a neighbor of hers on Blunt Street, where they both lived. So he knew her as a neighbor, and he knew her as a co-worker.
Well, Raleigh wasn't a very big town at that
time. Oh, no. I think approximately 30,000, maybe, at the most.
So that you could know a lot.
So you knew everybody just about.
Most of your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well then, We can't take every year as it
no.
came, but what else would you like to include here about the regime of Miss McKimmon? While
well, I think the interest she showed in the state fair was a big thing. It showed the work of the women, the work of the girls, showed the public what the home demonstration women were doing.
Now you're thinking of such things as canning and
the canning and clothing and the improvement of their homes. And
if you were characterizing her as having a theme song or being interested in any particular phase, would you say that she was more interested in food or the home or the, any particular thing, or was it the total life of the community?
It was the total life, I think, of the farm family uh-huh. and their community, to give them the opportunity to have education for themselves and for their children.
I see you have a book and here. Is that
that's Ms. McKimmon's book on When We're Green, We Grow.
When We're Green, We Grow. We've all heard about this book, but I think that
have
we
have you ever read any of it?
Yes, I have, and I think it's been a long time.
It's been a long time, and I've been recently rereading some of it. In the front, I have what was printed in the newspaper about the time it came out, I presume, written by Mr. Frank Jeter.
Yes. Well, I think we ought to note this book here is the book entitled When We're Green, We Grow, which was written by Miss McKimmon and which was published, and I see here in the leaf for Eleanor, efficient secretary, trusted confidant, who eased the tasks and smoothed the way, signed by Miss McKimmon. I bet you you treasure that book, I'm sure.
I do, indeed, and she did that for every staff member in their copy of the book she had for them.
Well, you say that she was very much interested in the state fair to show
yes,
the women's...
to show what had been done, what yes. they could accomplish. And she had the ability to make the people believe in themselves, that they could do it, that there were no hindrances. I remember one year when the 4-H short course was to be given, she thought the children needed to have better table manners. And she thought the short course at the college would be a good time to teach them something about good table manners. The person in charge of the foods then didn't see how that was going to be possible with all those hundreds of children. How would they be able to teach them? Well, she said it could be demonstrated to them. And they had it back and forth, and she finally said, well, I will do it if you can. Well, of course, the staff member could and did, with the help of the ones who do help, all pitched in. She used the dining hall. They set up the tables. And she taught the children, the boys and the girls, the boys to seat the girls properly, pull out their chair and help them be seated at the table. She taught them what silver to use. She taught them to put the napkins in their laps and use a napkin. And just the everyday table manners. And she put it across with this what they call the table manners drill. And one child writing back said what he had learned was to put your napkin in your lap and no place else. Those were some dates on when she retired.
She retired
in 46 from...
She was employed in 1911?
Yes.
And she retired in 19...
Semi-retirement in 19...
46.
And
she died in...
She died in 57.
In 57.
But during this... she was writing the book during some of that retirement, or maybe it was when she gave up the title of State Home Demonstration Agent and just retained the Assistant Director of Extension title.
Which was in...
And that was in 37.
In 1937.
And she retired in 46.
Well, this is a very interesting sketch. There's so much that could be said about her. But I think her book and the records and writings that others have done will make much of this available in the libraries for people who want to research it. What else would you like to say about her while we're talking about her?
I think her her determination was wonderful, and it inspired you. If she thought you could do it, you could.
I take it you liked to work for her.
Oh, I did. You learned, and you enjoyed working for her. I had known her, I guess, all of my childhood. She had been a friend of mother's, and she attended the same church I did. She sang alto in our church choir, so I'd always see her Sunday up in the choir singing. Our choir is in the balcony upstairs.
Well, I guess you felt very good when you attended the dedicatory ceremonies for the
indeed.
Building which is erected as
indeed I did, and her grandsons. She would be so proud of them. They were both here, Charles and James. Her daughter was a beautiful woman, and she died while those children were around 10 in that stage of their life, 8 or 10 or 12. And she went to live in their home. The husband asked her to come and look after the children, supervise their growing up after her daughter's death. So she, at her age then, did give up her apartment and move out with them. And those boys were devoted to her. They've both been quite successful, I think. Charles is one of the owners of the Angus Bun here in Raleigh. And he, I'm sure, remembers her very vividly.
Well, I take it that you regarded her not just as a boss, but as a person who inspired you and with whom you like to work. And that
yes.
you, as you said earlier, you were not awed by her at all, but you admired her greatly.
Yes. And I think her whole staff felt that way about her. She inspired them, and yet there was a friendship among the whole staff.
Well, I believe without any question that any writing of history of women who contributed substantially to the development of this state during those years should certainly be one of the foremost among them.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else you'd like to say about her before we move on?
Well, no,
Well, now, you were working for her when she retired. And then,
yes.
And then you continued.
And then I continued working. I had worked for Ruth Current, who followed her as a district person.
Was Miss Current her assistant for a while before she?
No, she wasn't. She was a home agent. She'd been a home agent in Iredell County and had been brought in as a district supervisor. And she'd been a district supervisor for several years.
So she moved directly from the district supervisor position
to the state agent to take over the program. Dean Schaub appointed her to follow Ms. McKinnon. I think I know he offered it to Ms. Cornelia Morris, who did not want that responsibility then.
He offered it to Ms.
She was one of the district supervisors, one of the older ones, mm-hmm. who had been in the work a longer time than Ruth Current had. But when she declined it, he offered it to Ruth Current, I understand, and she accepted it.
Well, tell us something about your experiences in working with Miss Current. Of course, I knew Miss Current quite well.
She was a delightful person, too. Home Economics Extension has been fortunate in all of their leaders. Ms. McKinnon organized it beautifully, established a firm foundation for the work. Ruth Current came along and put a lot of heart and warmth into the work. She was a farm girl herself, and she understood many of their problems and was close to them. And she was a joyous spirit, and she loved I remember the recreation programs when they were doing those in the state. They were going around to the different counties teaching them recreation. There were folk dances. And they had training. Oh, for 2 or 3 months, she'd go in a series of lessons. And the leaders in the communities would come in, or the communities of the county would come in, and they'd have a lesson in recreation, singing, and folk dancing. And then they would go back to their communities and bring that into their communities and teach the people at home. And she thoroughly enjoyed that part of her work.
She was quite a crusader for her program, wasn't
she? Yes, she was. Very, very faithful to it.
And it was during her administration that the scope of the program expanded greatly, wasn't it, in terms of numbers of people and
yes, numbers of dollars?
And
the staff increased and the money came in. The counties were getting more. All of the counties had come in by that time, I believe. I can't remember when they finally got all 100 counties, each with a home agent.
I can't remember when they got all of the counties with a home agent. I can remember when they got all of the counties with a farm agent after after the Depression.
Yes.
Because my county was the 100th county.
Oh, it was. Which county is that?
Ash County. Ash County was the 100th county to get a farm agent, and that was about 1937.
Well, it was later than that, I guess, that we got the home agents in every county.
It was later.
And in time, an assistant home agent.